Hello, boys and girls. You're listening to the Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim, the material rocker, Madonna. This is Chris Hadlock, ringleader of the band Hadlock. Now let's get your ears on and your horns up. It's time to rock and roll, baby. This one's going to 11.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, today's show is going to rock like no other, because I have upstate New York's very own frontman, Mr. Chris Hadlock of the band Hadlock. Chris, welcome to the show.
Jim, how the hell are you, my man?
I'm doing outstanding, brother. Well, listen, man, I want to thank you for calling in, Chris. This is a great opportunity for me as well. I searched the internet, and, when I came across Hadlock, man, I was taken in. You've got some amazing stuff out there. We're going to play some tracks on this interview. But what I want to do, Chris, is open up the floor to you. Give us a little insight about who you are, how you got started, and let's have a good time, and let's rock, man. So the floor
is... All right, man. It sounds good. Appreciate it, first off. It's tough to be found in this internet world these days. Everybody's on that level playing field. Where did it get started? Got started with accordion lessons when I was 4 years old. And from there, it kind of launched from Elvis, Kiss to the 80s. And then I think I got stuck somewhere at the 1989 MTV Music Awards and have kind of been there ever since. And then 30 years later, playing drums professionally and now 20 years in fronting my own band. It's been an interesting story. It definitely reads like some kind of movie or some kind of reality show out of somewhere. So I think I'll let the music do the talking and kind of see what people think and see where we can go with it, because, hey, life's still going, man. So unfortunately, it is not 1989, but I think that kind of spirit, I'm hoping to see it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I'm definitely hoping to see it again somewhere.
Right on. You had mentioned, you were a drummer for so long. How did you make the transition from becoming a drummer to the lead, frontman and guitarist of Hadlock?
I think I learned a lot from the people that I played with. I played with a band called the Chesterfield Kings, which did very well in Europe and, has had Little Steven from The Underground and Bruce Springsteen help them. And Greg Prevost, in my opinion, is one of the greatest frontmen from that 670s kind of vibe era, And bass player Andy Dubuque just put out his rendition of Beatles Gear again. The super version and Ringo Starr is, saying how great it is. So, those guys are pros, and I learned a lot. And, I've been playing drums since I was 4 years old, and it was great. I think there was a point where those guys actually taught me, do what you really want to do, do what you believe in, And for me, it wasn't the Beatles. It wasn't the Stones, it was Kiss, but, more it was Bon Jovi and Def Leppard, really. People always ask me, how influenced are you by the Beatles and the Stones? And I'm not. So I don't know if that's a good day, but the truth, So I always love the power of, there's two great moments in my life. The Girls, Girls, Girls tour where Tommy Lee was spinning. And that's a forever changer. And then get to 1989 on the New Jersey tour. And John Bon Jovi comes up through the floor with a flame of pyro. That was at that point. I believed in songwriting and all that stuff that I put off because, my drumming career at 18 took off. And I did my 3 weeks in college and that was good enough. And I was off to the races. I think you get to the point where you're the drummer and you sit in the back. And as much as I believe in that whole Tommy Lee front man, from the back of the drums, I think I like making my own choices and bringing the people in that I could work with and that would listen to me. And I think, I just enjoy it, man. I don't consider myself a phenomenal guitar player, but I think taking my rhythm attack from the drums and placing it into a guitar is, it's the sound that we make, and it's unique. I don't think we're a copy. I don't think we're retro. I think we're what now is. If that means millions of records, which, I don't really think that way anymore. I don't think there's any record companies left, but I do think there is something to be said for the people in the community of hard rock and heavy metal. You know, I guess I call it 71 to 91. And so hope that be able to make some sort of living and people like the music. I think at the end of the day, I think after it's all said and done, the music's still there. And, you know, this whole thing this week with Scott Weiland, however, you know, I hated grunge, but you got to give it to the guy. You know, the guy is no longer, but the music lives on. And whether you love it or hate it, the guy had talent. He was an amazing frontman, and you got to respect that. And I think the final answer to that question is I had such a burning desire to be that guy coming up through that floor with those pyros blowing off that I just did it and kind of reinvented myself at 28, which is crazy. And now 43. Hey.
Yeah, but you know what? The bottom line is you're moving forward, man. And you know, what you have today is, in my personal opinion, in just a very small part of what you have for the future. Again, that's speaking from my opinion, like I had said, man, because of the music that I have listened to, reading some of the information that I have on the internet about yourself, you've got what it takes, man, and you've got
Thank you. You truly do.
Chris, there's a song I want to talk about, man, and this particular song right here I'm talking about is Superstar Lost and Found. That, to me, is just an incredible song.
Well, thanks, man. I think it comes from Truth. You know, if you listen to the song about going out to that sunset drip and, thinking that all that stuff that we grew up with is still there and you kind of find out it's not, you kind of find out how Hollywood works. I think for that song, there's so many people, you know, grew up in that MTV generation, who believed in that power, who, you know, have 20 Marshall stacks in their basement and still practice their windmills in front of, you know, the mirror and all that kind of stuff. I think that Take All the Frosting Away, you know, it's the cake. And I think a song like that stands up. And we've had, you know, Bob Kulick help me produce it. It was mixed by Michael Wagner. So, you know, all these people that were involved in this whole thing. The video, which is on HadlockRock.com, Lon Friend produced it. So, you know, a lot of my heroes growing up, you know, we try to interact and try to incorporate all the people that were really there, you know, because in 1986, I was 14 years old and I was in eighth grade. I would have rather been at Gazzari's.
Right.
However, so, you know, it's that kind of vibe. And I think, you know, outside, you know, people just love it, you know, and for me, I just thought it was a song kind of writing about the end of something. And for some reason, it's a big song that people really love. So check it out.
Superstar Lost and Found with Chris Hadlock. Turn it up.
To hear this song on the radio, see my face upon the big screen, or maybe host my own talk show, make the cover of a magazine. Knew the way to win right from the start. I got the audition and I always nailed the part. Let's talk about fading glory, kicking round that same old story about a shining star falling to the ground. Find what you want, but don't take mine. We're all trying to cross that finish line. Welcome to Superstar Lost and Found. 20 some years of rehearsing, always shooting straight from the hip, betting on that Hollywood ending. Set the trend, make jet set. Second place, it's not about how good you are, it's about being in the right place at the right time. trying to cross that finish line. Welcome to Superstar, lost and found. Let's welcome the superstar. Let's talk about faded glory, kicking round that same old story about a shining star fall to the ground. Find what you want, but don't take mine. We're all gonna cross that finish line. Welcome to Superstar, lost and found. Baby, welcome to Superstar, lost and found.
We are back with Chris Hadlock of Hadlock. Chris, man, what more can we say, man? I mean, just amazing song. I love the arrangement, man. Well done, my friend. You know, in that video, at the end of it, you're holding a t-shirt. You know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it cracked me up, man. I recommend to the people who are listening to this that you, I'll supply the link for the video in this interview. However, you know, at the end of it, Chris, you know, it has a list
of... Yeah, that is Lon. That's Lon Friend in the video.
Okay. Yeah, and you got all those tour dates, and somebody had said, you have been there? And you go, no. I thought that was just hilarious, but man... Awesome, man. Just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that falls under the context of fake it till you make it. You know, prove that you can be it. You know, some people would market that under false advertising. But, you know, I always felt, you know, you give everything, you leave nothing on the stage. And, you know, also that's kind of a homage towards the whole point of reality television. You know, what is the reality of it? Well, the reality is, yeah, we want to sell, you know, 10,000 t-shirts, and we want, you know, play four nights in the Amenity Arena. The reality is, you know, the tour is like 10 club shows, and, you know, hopefully you sell enough stuff to make it to the next gig. So, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on, you know, if you're the glass half full or half empty kind of person, you know, it's just really about continuing. Like you said, you got to move forward. Don't get caught up on all the crap. And, you know, at the end of the day, you control nothing. So if something great happens, great. And if something bad happens, well, don't let it bring you down. You know, I guess that's the message.
Right on, man. That's a great word.
Thank you.
Right now, where is Chris Hadlock in his band Hadlock? Where are you guys right now as far as, are you guys working on any new tunes? Or, you know, give me a little bit of insight on that.
The insight, I think started this band, I mean, this band's been around literally 20 years, but I think it really got going. I had a deal in LA that fell through and a lot of things happened. So I came back here and called up the guitar player, Richie Roccasano. You know, thank God I held on to his business card. I also had a deal in Nashville that fell through because I was way too rock and roll for Nashville back in 1996. now that's how I think Nashville is now 80s rock with a steel guitar and a violin put in. But back then it was not. So after everything falling apart in LA, I came back. We started in 2002. We've come so close so many times. At that point, there were still record labels and all that stuff. I think we got to 2011. I think we just kind of put the brakes on, you know, going to full speed that whole time. And so for the last 3 years, I've kind of, you know, kind of got out of the bubble, so to speak. You know, people said, oh, you had a great ride for 30 years. So I've been living kind of in reality, which, you know, if you don't have to, I don't recommend it. But, Jim, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
So I think a couple of the big people that we've worked with have, you know, kind of called up and said, listen, this material that you've done is absolutely your best stuff. You know, it shouldn't matter. You know, it's just heard by friends and family, or, you know, it finally gets out there. But, you guys owe it to yourselves to do this. So right now we just got the first three songs kind of prepped up and you know, raring to go. And we're looking at putting out four EPs with five originals and a cover on each one, kind of like a box set thing. You know, ourselves, at the end of the day, we're not rushing it. No one out there, oh my God, you have to get it done. But, I kind of said, like, with the music, it's still there. It's still relevant. So we're going to finish it for ourselves. You know, we're really proud of what we've done. And, you know, at the end of the day, you've really got to do it for yourself. you know, and if something else happens, what I've learned growing up, it's always been about the end result. You got to kind of enjoy the ride. You know, it's about today. It's the present day, because if you only think about that end result, you know, you're fighting a war you can't win, man, because you can't control the end result.
Right on.
And I think, yeah, you know, I think I've learned that. So we're excited. You know, we're happy. We'll probably play a couple shows, you know, if we can get some people interested. You know, there's talk, again, on the website. There's like a basic rock doc, a very low budget rock doc of the last, you know, 15, 20 years of my life. People who watch it enjoy it. There's been some talk of some big wigs actually putting together a reality show based on all the insanity that is my life. Again, you know, the old me, pedal to the metal, would be controlling that and figuring out how to make that happen and living and dying by that. The adult person here, as best I can be, is if it happens, that's great. If it doesn't, just, you know, it's out of my control.
Right. You stated, you know, you've started this thing 20 years ago, you know, with that, with Hadlock, even up to, you know, superstardom, if you will. I think it's really important. We have a dream, we have a goal, but we really need to enjoy the journey. Because if we don't enjoy the journey, the learning process, ups and downs, life would just be boring as hell.
Well, I mean, also, you know, as you think to a narcissistic person, you know, the David Lee Roth part of that whole lead singer disease thing, you know, as you get older, you know, you got to let go of, you know, what you think or how you think it should be. You can't control anything, you know, and I think what I've learned, yeah, you've got to, you know, you're where you're at, and you can accept it, and you can be happy. You know, I think it's the happy thing, you know, because I think everything's too based on what you have or where you're at. And, you know, things right now for me are really, really rough. And I think I've actually found some solace in writing these songs, yeah. You know, where I was starting to hate it and hate everything about it, because what was the point? Because I've always set the standard of arenas. And yes, in the Chesterfield Kings, I was lucky to play arenas. So that, you know, that even makes it more difficult, because it's not like I didn't get to feel what that felt like. But as soon as I leave the venue, that monkey would be right on my back again. It's that, like anything, like a drug, you want more, 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 more. Where does it end? You know what I mean? So I'm learning this now, you know. I'm going to write my songs and we're going to have fun as a band. And, you know, if the only people that hear it are my friends and family, that's cool. And if something comes about, that would be awesome, you know. But again,
I certainly hope that this interview will, some of the followers that I have will, you know, they'll gravitate to you. I want to, you know, encourage anyone out to hit up the Hadlock page. You know, you're a great guy. You got great material, and you got a daughter.
Yes.
She's how old?
She's 13 now, man. Her name is Jersey.
Jersey, okay.
Jersey, yeah. And then when we named her, both grandparents said, "You're naming her after a cow." I did not know what they were talking about. She's obviously named after the 1988 Bon Jovi album, New Jersey.
Well, it's kind of comical, a little text message that we had together, and I'm not going to get into what we were talking about, but I told you I was watching Coyote Ugly, remember?
Right, right.
And you says, how ironic, and, you know, you brought up, because she was from Jersey.
Yeah, and her nickname was Jersey.
Right, yeah, right. It's kind of cool.
I always like that too.
Now that we've talked about your daughter, I got a song here we're going to play. Daddy's Little Girl. Turn it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Bye-bye, Daddy. Good night. I'll keep you safe, baby, we are family. Teach you all I know and never let you down. The time flies by, you're growing up so fast. When it's me and you, I try to make it last.
You will always be. You will always be. You will always be.
like the way I see. Sometimes it's not about who's right or wrong. As long as you believe in yourself, follow your dreams, I'll be there to help. If you ever forget, just listen to the song.
Welcome back with Chris Hadlock. You know, Chris, I want to go do some back-to-back tunes here. There's another song that the name of the tune is called Whatever Happened to You. Could you give us some history on that?
Yeah. It's about a chick, man. Can you believe it? This is the up-tempo. And again, I don't think Hadlock has a real heavy song. You could check out maybe I'm Your Rock and Roll or something, but we're not really a heavy band. I think this band caters towards the ladies. And, you know, I'm talking all of them. Your mom, your grandmother, your aunt, your sister, your wife, your daughter, your niece. I think women are in control of this world and should run it, as men are mostly, you know, mostly retarded. Again, unpolitically correct. This is our up-tempo. This is probably the most famous and fun song that we do. It's requested, you know, we get a million requests, but people really love this song. And it's kind of that back and forth where we're more of a ballad band. Only we could rock Bette Midler's Rose the way we do. You know, this is just, it's a song that encompasses everything that the 80s stood for. Yet it's what Hadlock does. We're not a throwback. You know, we don't wear spandex. Our hair is not teased. I don't think, you know, it's 1987, but the spirit and the really, really cream of the crop stuff, you know, that's what we try to emulate. And the people who are now 40s and 50s and 60s really, really enjoy this music. And, you know, I would consider myself, you know, an adult contemporary band. You know, it's been labeled as heavy metal Air Supply. People that can relate to that. I think, you know, this is my favorite song of them all. You know, and it begs that hey, whatever happened to you? God, it can go so many ways. Right, Jim?
Right on. And here it is. Whatever Happened to You. Turn it up on Power Rock Podcast.
You every single day. I can't believe you're the one that got away. top of us never climb the hill. Do you await for a dream that won't come true till? Get you back out to anything. The summer nights we make love out in the rain. Guess I'm just playing your pussy with skates. Of all those lies, you're the one thing that was true. I know what happened to me, whatever happened to you. Whatever happened to you? And now lately I keep wishing for the best, 'cause I know we had what it took to make it last. I made mistakes, but do you ever think about me? 'Cause I will never forget you. And it was me who told when we had a part. After all these years, you set the fire in my heart, and I'm burning down inside. You mix the batter and I lick the bowl. Life without you is completely out of control. One minus one, it doesn't equal two. But I know what happened to me, whatever happened to you. Whatever happened to you?
Again, we are back with the New Yorker, Mr. Chris Hadlock. We having fun, brother?
Hello. Yeah, it's great, man. You know, it's nice to talk about this stuff. You know, it's nice to see that you just never know, man. And it's so nice to see that, you know, you're kicking ass and you've got people wanting to talk with you, you know, whether they're on top of the world, a national act, or somebody that no one's ever heard of. It's really nice that you're giving them, you know, platform for what they're doing. And, you know, after that, I think it's up to, you know, people who are interested. You know, why do things go viral? Why do, you know, certain things hit here or there? No one knows. So I just think it's great that in this day and age with the way everything is these days, man, that, you know, there's some positive stuff and you're bringing it to the table. So that's nice.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot to me, brother. Chris, let's go back. Bon Jovi, you know, Richie Sambora, all that stuff. I mean, you clearly said that they are your influences. I mean, you don't kind of, I don't want to say the word compare yourself, but is that really truly where you get your style?
Oh yeah. I think anybody that knows me, I mean, you know, Tommy Lee, drum wise, and you know, I'm not I'm not a lead guitar player, but you know, Richie Sambora, Mick Mars, all those guys, you know, even like growing up being, you know, really young in the beginning of the 80s and having my Van Halen record, you know, to being a teenager in the late 80s and, you know, White Lion, White Snake, you know, Janie Lane, huge influence, you know, almost had a chance to write with him before he died. So there's a lot of that I hold true to heart, and anybody who wants to check out what we do, you'll see that. You'll hear the influences, but like I said, there's so many that, you know, in the montage of all these things, you know, there's a little Paul Stanley sprinkled all over all of it. But, you know, there's John and Richie and, you know, even some of that, you know, 80s Aerosmith. So it just depends on what you hear, where it comes from. But I think it does have an originality to it, but it also holds that, you know, bot where if you go on the website again at hadlockrock.com, you can read the bio. Amazingly written by Lon Friend himself. You know, we all remember his segment Friend at Large on Headbangers Ball and reading Grip Magazine and all these things that were so important to you as a 15-year-old, you know? And I think for me, I'm really comfortable with where I'm at and what I'm doing. And I've learned, you know, like we in 2008, we had a huge budget. You know, we had $250,000 given to us to try to, you know, be the biggest band. And you know, we went out to L.A. and we took our first two albums. I told the producers, you know, I want to sound like Nickelback because, man, that's what's happening. And if I sound like that, it's going to be great. And what you realize is you can only be yourself and you can't change the time and you can't change the place. So, you know, you've got to find that lightning in a bottle. And if you do, it's awesome. And if you don't, just got to be happy with, you know, where you're at and genuinely. And sometimes it's hard to do that, you know. I mean, we've all dealt with struggle. We've all dealt with crap. But at the end of the day, I am proud of what I've done. And even if it's not registered in, you know, multi-million dollar sales, I can say, you know what, this is who I am. This is what I do. And there are people who genuinely really like it. And the rest is out of my hands.
Awesome.
You know, so again, why stop? Can only get better, right?
Exactly. Chris, what do you think, in your opinion, man, the music business today with digital media, record labels, what's your overall thought on how the industry is run today?
The thing is, I agree with Gene Simmons. I think what we all grew up with doesn't exist anymore. You know, if I was to compare myself in the world, I'd say that Hadlock is the best VCR repair store or VCR around. Fortunately, you know, not too many people are buying VCRs or repairing them. As far as the rest of it, I think it's a different spectrum. I don't think the music matters, and it's a shame, but I don't think too many people care about new music. We all come from a point where we love that stuff. So a lot of it is kind of retro. I'm hoping, though, that there's, you know, there's some companies out there or people or whoever that want to see rock stars still. Because, you know, I mean, Gene and Paul are gods, but they're closing in on 70. And I would love to see, you know, the 80s generation of children who are now in their 40s. You know, maybe there is something out there because there's a lot of great songs I've heard that have never been released. There's a lot of great, you know, I don't know if there's so many bands, but a lot of great musicians that I know that are just phenomenal. So I'm hoping that something out there changes. It's more about reality television. It's more about traction. It's more about likes, all that stuff. And it's like, you got to have traction. People got to know who you are to like you, because you can't say, hey, there's this great band playing. I don't know what their name is, and I don't know what they're playing, because no one's going to go. And unfortunately, with live venues closing, and the kids today don't have MTV. They don't see that giant platform. And that's why, for me, you know, I haven't produced an album in a couple of years because there isn't anybody out there who wants it. And even if they do, they're not going to sell their records to, you know, recoup the costs. So, you know, the repair store theory. But I know there's people out there with VHSs and they're still playing them. So I'm hoping, I don't know if it'll ever be the worldwide domination that we saw, but I am hoping that there is a chance for some great people out there to make the contribution, because eventually, the people that we still have, we're going to run out of time. And, you know, we're going to be talking about hard rock and heavy metal like we talked about big band in the 40s, you know? Right. And so I'm hoping there's, you know, there's some chances for a few people to get out of the gate, kick it in the ass like we all grew up with, you know?
Right.
Because you take, you know, these, you know, all the 80s people that I know, they take their kids to the show and their jaws are just wide open. My daughter, she knows every Bon Jovi song there is. I mean, she's been to, you know, 8 shows. I mean, Richie, you know, she got to meet Richie backstage and, you know, but the funny thing was, is, you know, she's a gymnast. So she goes back to the gym and she shows everybody the picture of, you know, her standing next to Richie Sambora. And she's like, yeah, okay. And then all these gym mothers about faint. And they're trying to explain to her who she's standing next to, you know, so it's so funny.
That is funny, you know? Man.
And if I can put one thing to it, is there's going to be no rock stars anymore. And that's what saddens me. There's these great people, that iconic people, you know, that I look up to and emulate and want to be. I think that's the excitement. I don't know, you know, who the bass player in, I don't know, name a band, man. Maroon 5, who's the bass player? I don't know.
Right.
Everybody knows Nicky. I don't have to say six. I can just say Nicky. And that, to me, is what it was always about.
So what you, I mean, really what we're saying here is that the 80s era of rock and roll from Motley Crue, Kiss, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, you name it, Bon Jovi, they are our generation of music.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be that version. I mean, look at U2. I mean, they're the greatest band ever. You know, my fiance has turned me on to U2, and I've seen some shows and, you know, stuff I never listened to. I thoroughly, those guys are rock stars, man. I mean, they're just, you know, it's, I mean, Bono walks in, it's like, wow. That emulation, those great things that we went through, like Live Aid and Farm Aid and the Moscow Music Peace Festival and this grandiose idea, it's lost, man. Of course I want there to be a Hadlock pinball machine. I don't know if I want a Hadlock coffin. I'm not going to go that far. But you want those things. You see those things. You put yourself up against, you know, you just, you know, you talk about religion. Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a religious experience than seeing a Kiss concert. You know, I mean, to me is you know, it's just, you can't explain it. And, you know, Hadlock, we played, my daughter was in third grade. You know, we were good friends with the principal, and we had the band come to, you know, her school. So, you know, you had 600 third graders, and we blew Petty and Fling, the whole thing. It was just insane, you know, and it's like, it doesn't matter to me who we're playing in front of, as long as it's entertaining and interesting. And to this day, you know, they're all these kids are in eighth grade now, and kids will come up to me and they'll remember, you know, the hour that we played for them back in 2011. And it's just, you know, it's that whole thing that I think has been lost. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, it's just because of so many reasons, you know, you can talk about many of them, but I just want to see that kind of thing happen again. And, you know, who knows?
Do you ever see vinyl records coming back into play?
No, I, you know, of course not. But, you know, I just think everything, you know, there'll be vinyl and people want to collect it. Now it's sets, man, you know, so, okay, it's cassettes or it's whatever. And that's cool. I just don't, you know, I think you need the domination. I think you need, you know, it needs to be as big as it ever was. And that's, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen. You know, it's great that there's vinyl again. I don't want to go out and get it. You know, I remember selling my, you know, 700 records for $1 a piece, you know, before I moved to LA. So,
right.
You know, have I really wanted to carry all those albums around? You know, even my CDs, you know, I've got 800-900 CDs I'm looking at right now sitting in these drawers. It's like, you know, some of the technology is great. It's great that I can carry around this phone and I can play any album from my childhood. I can pull it up on my Apple, whatever. I like that. That's great. But yeah, you lose a lot. You know, no one knows no one even cares about the album cover or who mixed it or any of that stuff. You know,
right.
I can tell you what kind of hairspray Mick Mars was using in 1985. You know, what kind of strings are on that guitar? All that is gone, and not to be negative, I just want to see how it's going to be found. And for me, you know, this band, it's funny, we do this, we do a cover song. We do a Brady Bunch cover song called Keep On. And, you know, I'm not much for covers. People expect me to get up, and I guess I can get up and play the drums to most of those songs because I, you know, knew them. But as a singer, as a guitar player, I don't even know Bon Jovi songs. I've, you know, sang a lot of the lyrics 1,000 times, but I couldn't get up on stage and do them because I want to be like that. I don't want to be that. And that's a big thing for people to understand. But I think going back to what we do with this Brady Bunch thing, I think you have to have something that people can relate to and people can, you know, grab onto. And our drummer, you know, he grew up in that Brady Bunch era. You know, he's 10 years older than me, and you know, he loved the idea. And so we did it one time and the place went absolutely nuts. You know, everybody who was our age went crazy. So we do this song and we do it every time, and it's insane. So you know, you wouldn't think, but we always pick really interesting cover songs. It wouldn't do me any good to go playing a Runaway or Lick It Up. I mean, it's where I come from, and not to give all my secrets away, but I'm not going to do it better than, you know, than those guys did it. So to me, it's like, it doesn't make sense. But to put what we do stylistically into, like, we do Bette Midler's Like Rose, or we do Pat Benatar's Invincible, or like this Keep On song, people go, wow, because it's such a different take. You know what I mean? And it's interesting, and it gives you that traction that I talk about so seriously. Like, people are only going to take you serious if they can relate and they can understand. And as great as people have told me they love my songs, we're just another band, man, you know?
Right.
And unfortunately, you need that edge, especially today with all the social media, like we've talked about. You know, okay, I've got a page, you've got a page, great, you know? It's like going back to, you know, what Brett Muffel said. All right, there's 20 bands, and they all look the same, and they all sound the same. Who are you going to pick? You know, I think about, like, reality TV, or I think about doing something so far left that people might take, you know, advantage of that, and that might get them into going, wow, this band did this really cool, so let's actually listen to what they do. You know, and other people laugh, but that's okay, you know? And it's unfortunate that you can't get by just who you are, but getting your head above water, man, is so tough these days, you know, with everything that's going on. And there was no wars in the 80s, were there? I mean, everybody seemed to have, you know, it just was, you know, better times, you know? And I look at my daughter, Jersey, and, you know, she sees all these shootings and all this crap on TV, and I'm like, man, it's so sad. You know, you can't let these kids go out and play any of this stuff. So, there, you know, there's a real special place, you know, in my heart for this kind of stuff. You know, and you see these things on Facebook, you know, drinking water out of a hose. It's like, we all did it. How come, you know, none of this stuff is the same? And so, you know, you can throw that all the way back around. But for us to break through, I think it's important for us to do these little kooky and crazy things. So,
well, I think it's got a great twist, man, and I think it's a killer song. So why don't we let the listeners hear Keep On with Chris Hadlock on Power
Marsha,
Rock Podcast.
Marsha.
There it is on Power Rock Podcast.
Flying down the highway in a makeshift Model T, yeah.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful morning and it's gonna be a beautiful day. The wheels are humming and the guitar strumming. The radio is blasting and good times are coming as I'm flying down the highway in a makeshift Model T. We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing on through the night. We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right. Gonna keep on, keep on, keep on moving. Keep on, keep on, keep on grooving. Keep on singing and dancing on through the night. You can hear the music coming 26 miles away.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Smile is happy and happy is here to stay. Shifting on down, coming into town, waving at the kids all hanging around, cruising down the bay in my makeshift Model T.
Woo! We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing on through the night. We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right. Gonna keep on, keep on, keep on moving. Keep on, keep on, keep on grooving. Keep on singing and dancing all through the night.
Richard! Keep on, we're doing it right. Oh yeah, we're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on moving. Keep on, keep on, everybody's grooving. Everybody's singing and dancing all through the night. Come on!
We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing all through the night. We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right. We're gonna keep on. Keep on, keep on moving. Keep on, keep on, keep on grooving. Keep on singing and dancing all through the night. I said everybody's singing and dancing all through the night. I said everybody's singing and dancing all through the night.
Oh yeah, baby!
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back. We are with Chris Hadlock. Hey. Chris, I want to say it's time to close the show out, brother, man. I just, again, want to truly thank you from the bottom of my heart, man, for this opportunity that you
had. Hey, you know, it's been great, Jim. And I, like I said, I applaud you again for doing this and helping people out. It's just a different world. And what we've got to do is just come up with ways to, you know, to get stuff out there, you know, because it's so corporate now, man. It's frustrating, but I think if you keep believing, you know, I'm playing that card. I'm playing that careful what you wish for card. Still playing it, so we'll see.
Right on. All right, there you have it. An interview with Chris Hadlock on Power Rock Podcast. This is Jim Adani, your host, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. And I'd like to encourage you, don't wait for the blessing, be the blessing. A huge shout out to our armed forces. I'm going to leave you with one more song from Chris Hadlock, another one of my favorites. This one's called Dark Angel. Turn it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Should we make love? Should we make war? What the hell are we fighting for? I wrote this song to you, 'cause I never